United States versus Plummer and Griffin. Mr. Schindler.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Ralph Schindler. I represent Jarnell Plummer. Seated at the counsel table with me is Michael Mann, who represents Daryl Griffin, a co-defendant in this case. Following a trial before Judge Kaur, both defendants were convicted of selling crack cocaine. There had been previously an 851 filing against both individuals, and so the mandatory minimum of 10 years was doubled to 20 years, and Mr. Plummer was sentenced to a term of imprisonment of 20 years, and co-defendant, I believe, got slightly in excess of that. Due to the time limits, I would like to just concentrate my comments on the issue of the identification of the drugs at issue here.
And can I quickly ask you this? Can you identify any appellate court or Supreme Court case which holds that a substance cannot be crack cocaine unless the purity level is 75% or greater?
No, Your Honor. I cannot. But again, looking at the legislative history of this, I believe that's what Congress intended, and I've attached in the appendix the hearings that are available in the Chicago Public Library. And all of the hearings and the transcripts of the hearings, basically beginning with the New York Times article of 1985, talks about a new purified form of cocaine causes alarm as abuse increases. And that article basically was a catalyst from which Congress began its hearings. This Corporal Katz, who was in the brief, testified regarding the new substance, crack cocaine, and what it is, basically. And if we go back to the legislative history, we look also, originally it was called...
Purity has to do with anything.
Well, Your Honor...
Because, look, the statute, what the statute forbids is selling, you know, a mixture that contains cocaine. It doesn't say it has to be 90% cocaine or 10% cocaine.
Well, there's no question that this is a mixture containing cocaine. The question is it a mixture containing crack cocaine?
Yeah, it does contain crack cocaine, yeah.
No, Your Honor, we would contend it never did.
No, that's your purity point.
Well,
purity doesn't have anything to do with crack. It could be terrible crack. It has very little cocaine. Most of it is something else.
Your Honor, let me posit a...
That's the Marshall case, right? You look at the mixture. You don't look at the drug component of it.
I had an expert one time that said if you take a bag of cocaine hydrochloride, you put a tablespoon of baking soda in it, and you just let it sit in a humid atmosphere, it will change to cocaine base on its own. So my question to you, if we follow Chapman, is that a mixture containing crack cocaine? Under Chapman and under the government's analysis, the answer would be yes. But that's not what Congress intended.
Well,
Congress intended that you go through this purification process, you boil it, you make a cookie.
Marshall, that's the Supreme Court's decision. You going to quarrel with the Supreme Court's decision?
The Chapman case?
Yeah, well, wasn't it called Marshall in the Supreme Court?
Well, the Chapman case deals with LSD, and it deals with drug quantities, and it's the question of whether the paper should be included in the drug calculation. And that's
that was a much harder case for the government.
Well, that was really a drug quantity case.
A mixture with a piece of cardboard and the LSD didn't really seem like a mixture, but the Supreme Court held it was. So this is a fortiori, a mixture.
Is the highly addictive nature of crack attributable solely to its purity level, as you appear to suggest, or is it attributable... Or is it, I guess, related to the method of ingestion in that it's smoked rather than snorted, and that method produces a much more immediate high?
Your Honor, I don't believe so. Based on the hearings that were before Congress, the method of delivery of the drug, it is true that inhalation through the lungs does cause a quicker reaction, even though it's shorter-lived. But in terms of the high that's produced, I would contend that it's the same as cocaine hydrochloride in terms of the high that's produced. And it would seem that the purity relates to the high.
What are you driving? You're suggesting some purity threshold below which it looks like crack, but it's not crack? Is that what you're saying?
Your Honor, if we go through the process of manufacturing...
You're asking my question.
Yes, Your Honor, that is what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting if you go through the process of manufacturing...
What is your threshold? What percent?
My threshold is what is contained in the literature.
What percentage?
75 to 90% is what the literature...
So 75% is your threshold.
75% is my threshold. And the drugs in this case were 50%.
Yeah, well, that's not going anywhere.
But, Your Honor, if we look at the process...
Is that it?
Your Honor, if we look at the...
Any other argument about... Or is that it?
There are other arguments regarding notice, the expert witness notice, that were contained in the brief. There's also a due process argument in terms of if, in fact, we rely totally on a police officer to identify crack cocaine...
We all come down to the same point. You think purity has to be... The purity threshold has to be passed. For that, you need an expert, chemical analysis, right?
No, Your Honor. There's no chemical analysis of crack cocaine. The problem is, and the officers testified.
Listen to me, please. How do you determine the 75% without a chemist?
Oh, you have to determine the chemistry.
So why did you say you wouldn't need an expert witness?
You would need an expert chemist, and there were two chemists in this case to determine what the chemical content was. And they're, I believe, in the appendix at 15, 16, and 17 in terms of the cocaine base percentage and of these drug samples. But again,
we reject your threshold. What is left? Do you have arguments that are independent of purity?
Yes, Your Honor. We argue that we were denied a fair trial because of the only evidence that this was, in fact, crack cocaine were the opinions of these two officers.
That's your purity case again, right?
No, Your Honor. We weren't given fair notice of what their opinions were going to be. We specifically filed under...
I understand you. If there's no purity issue, there's no problem with the police saying it's crack, is there?
I filed under Rule 702 a request for notice of expert opinion and disclosure of expert opinion. I got something that's in the appendix which doesn't satisfy the rule. I went back to Judge Kaur and I said, Judge, this doesn't satisfy the rule. So I got a second opinion, 1 week before trial.
The
opinion of the officer was, well, I think it's crack cocaine based on the texture, based on the color.
That's all they ever do.
How do you cross-examine somebody on that? And even the opinion that was disclosed wasn't his opinion.
I don't understand you. If we throw out your purity point, then crack is identified by criminals and by police officers on the basis of its appearance, right?
And that's not a reliable method.
Why isn't it reliable?
Well, because this officer testified that he thought a rock one time was crack cocaine. He bought a rock. It was a rock off out of the ground. He thought it was crack cocaine.
So?
So apparently,
so you got to cross
the appearance doesn't always indicate that what is.
Did he say that on cross examination?
Yes, Your Honor, he did.
He had a chance to cross examine him. What more do you want?
And he also said color.
What more do you want? You have an opportunity to cross examine the officer. You can say this officer is blind. You thought a rock was crack. You mustn't listen to him. What more do you want?
I would have liked a little more advance notice.
Finish, would you please? I keep getting interrupted. What if we put aside purity completely? What more do you want in the way of whether it's an expert report or what to enable you to cross-examine these police officers or criminals who say it was crack?
I would have liked an actual written opinion by the police officer.
What would it say? I looked at it. It looked like crack. What else would it say?
Well, first of all, I objected as to whether he was an expert or not. This guy had never even testified.
That's my question. What else could a report, if we put aside your purity point, what else could an expert report, a police officer, who's going to testify that it was crack, what else do you expect it to say? Except I looked at it. It looked like crack.
Well, I would expect him to say that, and I'd like him to say a little bit more about the chemistry. What did he do in terms of the chemistry?
What do you mean the chemistry?
Well, typically, afterwards, they examine it for cocaine. They determine.
Yes, I know, but that's not the crack issue. We know it's cocaine. It has to be cocaine. The question whether it's crack or some other form of cocaine, that's the issue on which you want to push purity. But if we throw out the purity issue, then it's just going to be what it looks like. Right? So what are you going to get in an expert report?
Your Honor, I think I should have gotten an expert to try to introduce some of these arguments regarding purity.
Of course. Well, that precisely. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. So, Mr. Hedges?
May it please the Court, Ryan Hedges on behalf of the United States. Defendant's convictions and sentences should be affirmed. As the Court has noted, the plain language of the statute at issue here, Section 841B1, imposes mandatory minimum sentences for violations involving certain amounts of a mixture or substance which contains cocaine base.
Now, you stated that the transcript indicates that Agent Miller told Gene Brown that he wished to purchase crack cocaine and that Brown brought Plummer to the agents.
Correct,
for the transaction. Who testified to that at trial? What words were used by Agent Miller in stating what drugs he wished to purchase?
Your Honor, I believe...
And where can I find it in the transcript?
Okay. I believe Agent Miller was... did not clearly testify on that point. Agent Pointer testified that he had asked for rock. And if you give me 1 second, I'll tell you where that is. I believe it's at page 264 of the transcript. I believe it's 264, Your Honor. It's in our brief.
See, one aspect of this case that I found troubling was the lack of any language by the agents in the purchase that would indicate that the nature of the drug being purchased. In other words, the use of words like rock. It's just a little troublesome to... rely on the appearance of the drug as crack cocaine, absent any indication by the buyer or the seller that the substance being purchased was crack, particularly where you have an agent who, you know, took something out of the ground, or a real rock, to be cocaine.
Well,
you did argue in the brief that the transcript indicated that Agent Miller stated to Gene Brown that he was looking for crack cocaine.
Correct, Your Honor. What Agent Miller stated was that he was looking for 8-ball, and that was after Agent Pointer had asked for rock. And so what we argue in the brief is that the terminology 8-ball meant crack in this case. And so when the defendants and the agents were referring to more or less than a ball, more or less than an 8-ball, it was the agent's understanding that they were referring to crack. And so terminology was actually used in this case. Terminology that applies.
So 8-ball can only be crack.
Not at all, Your Honor.
Exactly.
But in this case, it did mean crack.
Well,
that was the understanding of the agents.
Well, that's the understanding of the agents, but it's not my understanding at this point.
But the agents were the ones there doing the deal,
uh-huh.
And they were the ones who asked for the drug amounts, the drug quantities, and they did so with this typical terminology. There were many other factors that factored in to the fact that these drugs were crack, the way they were packaged, tied in a plastic bag with a knot on the top. They were off-white, chunky.
Is only crack tied in a plastic bag with a knot at the top?
I'm not sure, Your Honor, and that's not in the record.
I can tell you that the answer is no.
But that doesn't mean that crack can be packaged in a plastic bag in the corner with a knot on the top. Similarly, these rocks were chunky, off-white, yellowish substances, which
just
is
like,
good to tell.
Just like cocaine or baking powder.
Except that there was chemical expert testimony in this case that these substances contained cocaine base.
At page 4 of your brief, you have in quotes that Agent Miller understood the bomb was referring to an 8-ball crack of crack cocaine because the agent had, quote, stated to Gene Brown that I was looking for crack cocaine 8-ball. Right?
Correct.
That covers crack cocaine 8-ball.
It does cover, Your Honor. I'm hesitant to rely specifically on those words, only because the idea that the agent actually went up to the defendant and said, I'm looking for crack cocaine, seemed maybe to be a stretch. And so we stepped a little bit back away from that point.
That's what he testified.
That is what he testified to, Your Honor. That's correct.
Well, that's
what's in the record, Your Honor.
Now, the statute punishes 50 grams or more of a mixture of substance which contains cocaine base. Are there any transactions in cocaine which have the cocaine base but are not crack?
Are you referring to powder cocaine, Your Honor?
No, but in the base form, not in the acid.
I'm sorry, in the base form. There may be. Edwards recognized there were other forms of cocaine base. However, for all practical purposes, free base has been extinct for many, many years. And exactly. Turning to the defendant's issue on the expert notice, that notice did give the bases for the agent's opinions, expert testimony. It gave
So what you're really saying is the way these cases are proved is the cocaine is tested and it's found to contain cocaine base, and it's in some sort of hard form. And as you said, cocaine base, that's the only way in which it's sold. So that's pretty much it. Right?
And that's the test that's laid out in Edwards, and it's been reaffirmed in case after case.
So they take it, crack and other cocaine base would have the same chemical content?
Well, the issue in Edwards...
would be the same.
Right. Chemically, scientifically, cocaine and cocaine base have the same chemical properties. I'm actually not aware whether free base and crack have exactly the same scientific properties. The chemist that testified in this case has never seen free base to test it chemically.
Right.
It was her opinion that it would be similar chemically, correct. And just briefly on the point about the letter not satisfying the obligations of the government to turn over the bases for the expert opinion. The trial judge did require the government to supplement that letter, and the government did supplement that letter.
Is that the June 6th letter, the supplement?
I believe the June 6th letter is the supplement. The problem was that the government had not identified anybody who would testify to the ultimate issue of whether or not the substances were crack. And the trial judge said, if somebody's going to testify to that, you need to give them notice of that. And the government did. And the bases were the telltale signs, the appearance, the price, the terminology, and those were the bases for these agents' opinions. And Rule 16 requires a written summary. It does not require a complete written report. It's the plain language of Rule 16. And that's exactly what the government provided. Unless the court has any further questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hedges. So, Mr. Schindler, I think your time has expired, but you can have a minute. Did his time expire?
Yeah. Your Honor, I would just point out a couple of things. The letter that we're talking about is in my brief, Supplemental Appendix 3. It's actually a June 14th letter. There was a June 6th letter, and then there was a supplemental June 14th letter, which is Exhibit A to my motion, my second request for a Daubert hearing or for a supplemental statement. And in that letter, Ms. Snyder, who actually was the government's attorney in the first case before this court, she set forth the basis of the opinion, which is the physical appearance, an off-white rock-like chunky substance, packaging, which is, you know, a plastic bag.
So is crack chemically distinguishable from other cocaine base?
No, Your Honor. Freebase cocaine and crack cocaine have...
What does freebase mean?
Freebase is what I believe Congress was worried about way back when. It's the Richard Pryor method of making an enhanced purified form. It's basically use ether and ammonia as the agent. You drive off the pure cocaine. It becomes with the solvent, the ether solvent. It becomes separated from the rest of the residue, and then. The only problem with it, of course, is it's highly flammable.
So as you're using freebase, it is a form of cocaine base. It's not just cocaine base. It's cocaine base with a solvent.
No, that's the manufacturing process, Your Honor. Freebase is the manufacture process that the Richard Pryor process of using ether and ammonia.
When he smoked the freebase and set himself on fire, was he smoking just...
I don't believe he was
just
smoking.
Just cocaine? I mean, was he sniffing just cocaine?
He was taking the same cocaine and he was purifying it to this rock-like substance.
What he was inhaling, was that just freebase? Was that just cocaine?
That would be the purified form of cocaine.
You're saying he was manufacturing.
He was manufacturing and he got caught on fire in the process of manufacturing to this enhanced state. And that's part of our argument, is that what Congress intended the enhanced penalties for.
If you do a chemical test on crack, you find that it's cocaine base.
And it's exactly the same, and that's what the expert testified in this case, the government's expert, that it's indistinguishable from something manufactured under this freebase method, and that there is no way to distinguish
it. But Mr. Hedges says, I guess after the Richard Pryor well-publicized incident, freebase is not used anymore.
Well, because of the danger and
right.
associated with the manufacturing process,
that's
yes.
What I'd say. I don't know why if chemical tests a chunk for the base form of cocaine, and there's testimony that it was a chunk, it was solid, you know, it was like a rock, what more do you need to prove that it's crack?
Well, there's got to be, at some point in time, it's not the evil that Congress intended. I would submit if you're down to 2 or 3%, Your Honor, would it still be...
No, but look, you have this... What about the statutory provision if you try to sell sodium bicarbonate as cocaine? That's a serious crime, too. Right?
No question. I'm not suggesting this is not a criminal act. I'm suggesting that the sentence should just be something for cocaine hydrochloride rather than crack cocaine because... There's no evidence that went through this purification process.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not? So we thank you for your vigorous...